Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
We're doing How to Be Happy this evening in part two. And if you missed out last week, I want to encourage you to get the CD at the back. If there's none left, go online, watch the video, whatever. And as Etienne said, we have an accompanying daily devotion which is going out online. You can get it on our Facebook page, on our website, or on my blog. Or if you want to sign up and get in your email inbox, you can find it on there somewhere. But I really want to encourage you because it helps just unpack what we're talking about and dig a bit deeper to help you reflect on it so that you get more out of the Sunday message. That's the heart behind the daily devotion. Most times, we kind of just go to church, listen to a message, and you know, if we asked you on Wednesday, you wouldn't know what was said on Sunday. But if we asked you after the service, you wouldn't know what what was said in the service. So, you know, the devotional helps you kind of get more out of it because the word isn't just something we do because of religious observance or something. It's to help you grow. And if with the daily devotion, it helps you grow. It stretches out the word through the week. And how many of you are getting the daily devotional reading it? There's a lot of you. That's awesome. The rest of you, you know, you can go online, find it. If you need more information, just ask at the resource table. But getting into today's message, you know, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and I want to just start off there. You know, the thing with how to be happy is, you know, bad things happen in life. You know, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand because maybe it's just a negative confession for you, and you'll thrive on that. You know, if I was to ask how many of you have had bad things happen, some of you put up your hands because you like to acknowledge that, you know, that bad things happen. And the reality is bad things happen to everyone, okay? Life is hard a lot of the time, but God is always good. And the whole point of the series isn't to say that you can have a trouble-free life. It's to say, hey, you can have a trouble-filled life with lots of joy. You can have lots of problems and be the happiest person on the face of the earth. They crucified Jesus, and yet what we looked at last week, he was the happiest person on earth. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. What's it? Hebrews 1? Someone remember? Hebrews chapter 1 says. You can go read the verse there. But Romans chapter 8, where is it? Verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know what that's saying? Is that you're not a victim. Bad things happen, but you're not a victim. So we're going to look at it now. The way you respond to things determines if you're a victim or a victor. If you're if the things are just pulling you down or if you're being, you know, rising up above things. Because you're not a victim of your circumstances. Just because you're born into the family you're born into doesn't mean you're going to be successful or not. Just because you're, you know, the color that you are and you're at the economic level that you are doesn't determine whether you're successful or not. What determines your success is how you respond to life. You can choose for it to make you better or bitter. It's up to you. You've got the power, and that's awesome. If you realize that and take hold of it, then life just doesn't happen to you. You can happen to life. You can start to make decisions which change the whole course and direction of your life. You know, if you're in a challenging circumstance or situation, I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm here to help you and liberate you. The reality is that you may have made some bad decisions to get you into that situation. And if you didn't make bad decisions to get you into that situation, it's probably because you didn't make decisions to prevent that situation that got you into that situation. You know, maybe you've just been coasting, running in neutral, and just letting life happen to you. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. If God wills, it'll happen. If God wills, it won't happen. If you've got that kind of mindset, then you're headed for destruction. And that's often why we're in the hole that we're in. But if you realize that you can determine whether you're happy or sad, if you can determine whether you're full of joy or not, you can determine whether you're successful or not, you've got the power then to choose. And the awesome thing is it's not about willpower. It's not about you and your carnal self trying to do something to achieve something. You can only do this by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And when you partner with God in you to make the right decisions and to go in the right direction, He'll set you up for success. It won't be an effort. The Christian life is an effortless life. Maybe you didn't realize that, because a lot of people don't. A lot of Christians don't realize the Christian life is an effortless life. The reason why it's difficult is because you don't realize you're dead and you're trying to be alive. You don't realize that you can just relax and you're trying to achieve something instead of just accepting what He's freely given you. Amen? So, everybody wants to be happy. If you say you don't, then you're lying. Everyone wants to be happy. Everybody subconsciously or consciously wants it. Okay? And true happiness only happens through relationship with God. Okay, that's the what we spoke about last week. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. We've got to accept the truth that, you know, without Jesus, we'll never truly be happy. We'll never experience joy like we should. We'll never experience peace like we should. And it's just going to be, you know, a downward spiral. Okay? But a lot of people think that happiness is going to be found in stuff. You can have a lot of stuff, money, possessions, and all of that, and it won't make you happy. Now, I've heard many different thoughts on this. Some people say, well, you know, if they gave me all the money in the world, then I beg to differ, I'd be happy. Yeah, but the reality is, and the truth is that happiness, true happiness, isn't found in wealth. Very wealthy people commit suicide. Very unwealthy people, poor people, commit suicide. It's across the board. You know, so money isn't the problem. Okay, money doesn't make you happy. Money doesn't make you sad. Okay, a lack of money doesn't make you sad. An abundance of money doesn't make you happy. Okay, it would be momentary because your money can disappear. Then what? Your joy disappears if you're basing it on that. But your focus determines your emotions, and you have the power to choose where you focus. And so whether you have, like we should be able to say with the Apostle Paul, whether I have lack or whether I have plenty, I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll be fine. I'll be happy. I've learned to be content with whatever my circumstances, whether I've got much or whether I've got little. That should be your attitude. That should be where you're at. Okay? So, you know, it's not about stuff. It's about your perspective. You can have constant joy, but it needs to be based on something. You know, I'm pretty sure that everybody here would want to have this like constant joy. We're not talking about a fake kind of joy where, you know, it looks like you're on happy pills, where it's like a fake smile and it's just fixed. We want like true joy, which has got some kind of depth to it, right? And you can experience that, but then it has to be based on something which is unshakable. The world is basing happiness and contentment on stuff that's shakable. Now, we're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. So we should not follow the pattern of the world and try and conform to it. We need to follow God's pattern and think like God. So, for example, if your happiness is founded on the fact of on the economy, yo-yo, up, down, all around, you know, it's not going to be pleasant experience for you. If you know, if your happiness is dependent on relationships, well, you can't control other people in relationships, which means that when they all of a sudden don't want to be your friend or they're being mean or something, and you can't control that, then you're going to be up, down, all around like a yo-yo. You got to have your emotions rooted somewhere which is unshakable. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Okay, we've got a kingdom which cannot be shaken. We've got a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And if you're basing your view, your perspective, your life on this unshakable kingdom, what it's going to do is make you unshakable. Hey, the devil can throw everything against you and your mother-in-law and you won't be affected. He can pull out every trick in the book and you're unshakable because it's not based on circumstances, it's based on His kingdom, His word. That's an awesome place to live. Now, I'm not doing it perfectly, but I live there mostly. And it's awesome. Hey, you know, I've been in a lot of pain at times. And you know, 3 years ago when I experienced a lot of pain, and I wasn't miserable. You know, I've been at times when I've had lack and when I've had plenty, and I haven't been miserable in either. It's a great place to live. It really is. So we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're part of God's unshakable kingdom. We need to focus on the things of the kingdom if we want to be unshakable. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, you're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is the part of you which is eternal. The spirit is the part of you which is recreated and born again when you become a new creation, all of that. And that's the part of you which is perfect in Christ and all of that. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your intellect. Your soul is your emotions. And then your body is what we see. Okay? The body is what we're all looking at right now. Okay? In this series, we're talking about the soul. We're talking about your emotions. You know, we're not talking about what's in the spirit. Most of us know that. You're blessed. You've got everything you need for life and for godliness in your spirit. You're power-packed and fully loaded, ready to go. You're a world changer in your spirit. But in your emotions, do you feel like that? How are you doing in your emotions? That's what we're talking about in this series. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you content? Are you discontent? We're talking about the emotions. We're talking about your mind. Okay, and then your body, we're not talking about that so much either. But true prosperity starts in the soul. It starts in the spirit. It's in the spirit, but if you want to experience health and you want to experience prosperity, material prosperity and all of that, it has to start in your heart. It doesn't start by someone giving you a check for R1 million. I'm sure you'd be happy if someone gave you a check for R1 million, but how long is that happiness going to last? All of a sudden the tax man comes. And then everybody you know, including their step-grand, comes and is like, you know what, it's time for you to help me. I've heard of stories like that. You know, you come into money and then everybody needs some help. And then that's awesome. It's helped people, but if you're basing it on finances, then when you get lots of finances, how long is that happiness going to last? It needs to be something more than that. Okay, so we're talking about the heart, which is your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, and true prosperity starts in your heart. If you've got a lot of abundance, like wealth and possessions and stuff like that, but you're not happy, there's a disconnect. You can be prosperous on the outside and not prosperous on the inside, but the prosperity on the outside is going to be short-lived then. If your health, you might be healthy, but if your heart isn't healthy and you're not happy, then that health isn't going to last very long. Because, doctors will even confirm it, that, you know, if you're stressed, you're going to suffer health-wise. So, how is your heart doing is an important question to ask. We've got to look at the heart if we're wanting to enjoy what Jesus has died for us to enjoy. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're going to look at this later, but this is showing that your heart is very important. Your heart is very important. What is in your heart determines your whole life. Some of you may be freaked out right now because you know your heart. You're all quiet because of that, isn't it? What's in your heart determines your whole life. We're going to look at that in a moment. Okay, Proverbs 17, verse 22, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Merry heart does good like medicine. If you're needing medicine in any area of your life, not just physical health, but emotional health, merry heart is the answer. What makes us truly happy is the gospel. You know the true gospel, you're happy. God's a happy God. He's got a happy message. If you know that message, that God's not holding anything against you. That shouting ground, that makes you happy. Hey, God's forgiven me. Doesn't matter what I've done. He's accepted me. That's worth getting happy about. A lot of Christians don't know that. That's why there's a lot of unhappy Christians. Okay, so a merry heart does good like medicine. You know, when I was struggling with some health issues 3 years ago, I didn't jump into the Word straight away. Don't throw your stones. I couldn't jump into the Word straight away. I was really kind of like a bit discouraged. And then at the same time, I was kind of like, I can't read. I don't want to listen to something like a teaching right now. So you know what I did? I watched funny movies and I watched funny series. I'm not going to tell you what, lest you judge me. It wasn't bad stuff. It was good stuff. Probably nothing you'd enjoy. But I watched some stuff. I laughed. And then, you know, I felt like getting into the Word after that. It got me loosened up and relaxed. And then I got into the Word. That's just what I did. That's my testimony. It helped me get into faith because I relaxed and a merry heart does good like medicine. Okay, so that's my testimony. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, we're talking about the heart, and I'm going to kill a sacred cow right now. Because a lot of, and especially in Christian circles, we've got the sacred cow of just follow your heart. Some of you have the fridge magnet. Just follow your heart. That's the most ungodly thing you could ever do. Because this scripture shows us and warns us, the heart is deceitful above all things. Hey, don't just follow your heart, follow the word and the spirit. You can't go wrong with this. I once felt like killing myself. I didn't because I knew it was wrong. Hello? You know, sometimes when I'm talking to someone, none of you obviously, they come up and I'm busy talking to them and I'm giving them counsel or whatever, and sometimes I just talk to people. I'm like, you know what? I just want to help them catch a wake-up. Something comes, the spirit of slap, you call it, comes over me. And I just want to help them catch a wake-up by, you know, laying hands on them. Giving them the fivefold ministry. And you're like, why have I never, I've never done that in this church. Why haven't I done it? Because I've never done it outside either. Why have I never done it? Because I know it's wrong. It's the wrath of man. It's not self-control or anything like that. So I've never hit you. I've hit Kunrad once. On mission trip, I was praying for him for his sinuses and I hit him. He got a fright, so I hit him again. And he was healed. You know, I don't recommend that. That's just how I felt to deal with it. So, anyway, moving along. I don't do that because I don't hit people when I feel like they need some course correction because I know it's wrong. Okay? You know, we're not there to help people catch a wake up. If we're following our emotions, we're gonna be led into trouble. I always feel like eating cake. There's a good example. I love sweet stuff. I'm banting. Moving along. The point is that if you follow your emotions and your desires, you're headed for trouble. You shouldn't be led by your emotions. You should lead your emotions. I've been depressed. My wife has been, she was depressed and on medication for a while before we got married. And so we can both testify about this. That you can choose whether you're happy or sad. And I'm not condemning anyone. Not at all. I understand what you're going through because I've been there. Maybe not as bad as you, but I've been there. And so, you know, when I make the joke about it, I felt like killing myself. I did. But I didn't because I knew it was wrong. I chose to get out of that by changing my perspective, renewing my mind, and getting happy in the Lord. So when I'm talking about how to be happy, I know what I'm talking about. Because I've had bad things happen in my life, but I've chosen not to stay there. I've chosen to be happy. Okay? You can too. Now, you might have a worse situation, but the principles apply. So how's your heart doing is the question I want to ask this evening. How is your heart doing? I know who you are in Christ, and I know what the Word says. I didn't ask that. I asked, how's your heart? How are you feeling? We don't usually go there in our circles, right? I'm blessed, brother. But you know why I'm going there? Is because the answer to this question reveals what we truly believe. In that you can say I'm blessed, you can say I believe in the power of God, you can say I'm prosperous, you can say whatever you want to say about what the Word says, but if you're not experiencing that and you don't feel that, you don't truly believe. Now there are times when you just have to stand and confess the Word and believe the Word, even if you don't feel like it. That's something else. What I'm saying is if you're consistently getting the opposite of what you say you believe, you're wrong. You're not believing right. If there's a disconnect between what you say you believe and what you're experiencing, your heart isn't in the right place. You're wrong. Okay, it's a wake-up call. I'm not hitting you. I'm throwing the Word at you. But what I'm showing you is that you need to change then. You know, God actually gave me a dream about this about a week and a half ago. Where, I'm not going to go into depth on the dream, but he basically just said, you know, if you don't truly, when you're praying for someone or for something, and if you don't truly see that happening, or there's a slight, I don't know if this is going to work, or a slight kind of, you're just doing it because you know it's the right thing to do, and you're saying the right thing, but you can't imagine it happening, you don't have faith for it. And you won't see it happen. It will not happen. You've got to get into the place where you know before you even touch the person, it's going to happen if you're praying for healing. Or if it's provision or whatever the case is, you know that, hey, when you ask, you receive. Because that's what the word says. And if you can't see it happening in your heart, you don't really believe it's going to happen. And guess what? It's probably not going to happen. If it did happen, the saying is true that a blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while. We need to wake up and realize that we need to realize, take, you know, when we evaluate ourselves, we're very lenient, right? Hello? When we evaluate ourselves, we're very, very lenient. But when we evaluate other people, we're usually more harsh. But let's just take inventory of where we're at. So the questions are, you know, how are you feeling? How is your thinking? How is your focus? You know, if we really want the answer to these questions, how is my heart doing? If we want to know the answer to that, then you know what? We have to look at the fruit of what we're experiencing. If the fruit doesn't match up with what I'm saying, I believe you're wrong. Your heart needs to change. Okay, and this is really important. Okay, the real answer to your question, how is your heart doing, could be the reason why you aren't experiencing healing and things aren't really working out for you. God has good plans for me. And if you're not experiencing those good plans and you keep declaring those good plans, maybe you don't really believe that He's got good things for you. Because in your heart of hearts, maybe you don't really believe. And it might be because you're in an environment where everybody's saying these positive things, and so you've just started saying these positive things. But if it doesn't have the root in you, it's not going to produce anything. Make sure it's got the root in you. You know, if everybody around you is just like, you know, I'm healed by His stripes, and they're experiencing healing, and you're doing the same things they're doing, but you're not experiencing it, maybe it's because that word hasn't taken root in you yet. Let it take root in you before you try and copy. You know, you're not a copycat. You're not trying to copy what everyone else is doing. Get into the Word for yourself and learn to receive for yourself. Figure out what the Word says to you, and not, you know, don't let it be secondhand revelation. It's good to sit and receive word. Amen? You're doing that now. But you need to process it so that it's yours. So that you're receiving it. You know what secondhand revelation is? Let's think about it in terms of food. Some of you there. I eat my food. I share my food with you. Secondhand revelation. Some of you got it. Get the revelation for yourself. So, what emotions are you experiencing mostly? Joy, frustration? Are you mostly worried, anxious, fearful, angry? Or do you experience like just an abundance of peace? Where you're at? Where's your heart? Remember, I didn't ask what do you believe, but what do you feel? What is dominating your subconscious? You know, what your subconscious would be your like default setting. You might be saying, hey, I'm blessed. I'm the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm happy. I'm trusting God. You might be saying all of those things, but when nobody's around and when it's quiet, what's going on in the back of your head? I don't know if things are going to work out this month. I don't know if it's, God, this is going to be a miracle if you can pull this through. I know you did the virgin birth and all that, but I don't know if you can do this. You parted the waters for Moses and 2 to 3 million people to walk through on dry ground. I mean, dry ground, not just wet ground, dry ground. But I don't know if you can do what my situation, Lord, this is huge. We don't think about what He's done previously. We're just thinking about our huge situation. Your subconscious directs your experience in life. So that kind of default setting in your heart is what's determining your whole life. Not what you're saying and not what you say you believe and all of that. What you really believe is determining what you're experiencing. So what are you thinking about? You know how you can also determine what you're thinking about is, and I know some people don't like me saying this, but it's the truth, is when you're squeezed by circumstances, what comes out of you? When I squeeze a tube of toothpaste comes out. When life comes and squeezes you, whatever comes out in that situation is probably revealing what you truly believe. For example, the doctor says, you've got 3 months to live. Oh God, what am I going to do? Then you just start panicking. Then you get yourself into faith eventually. then it's like, well, you're trying to believe God, but you don't really believe God. You know, you go to the ATM to withdraw money and there's none. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have to work some extra hours this week. And then you get home and you realize, well, I don't really have extra hours to work, so let me trust God. You know, that's showing that your faith is really in yourself and not in God to provide. And I mean, you can apply it to any situation, really, but what do you truly believe? Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So your so is he is determined by your thinking in your heart. Okay, how are you? That's your so is he. Okay, that's a new word. I'm coining it tonight. Your so is he is determined by your thinking. How you think determines how you live. Your so is he. Where is it? So is he, the second word. I made that one word. Some of you look confused. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your life is determined by your thinking, how you think. Not just what you think about, but how you think, your process of thinking. It's important you change your way of thinking from negative to Bible, not just positive. We don't believe in the power of positive thinking, we believe in word thinking. Start to think like God thinks and you'll start to get God's results. Start to think positive and maybe it'll work. Start to think like God thinks it'll work. Okay? So you got to get your so is he right. Okay? Do you have the quote up there? Great. This was just something I wanted to put up there for you because it's a bit detailed, but think about it with me for a moment. The thoughts you meditate on are seeds you plant in your heart which will take root and become beliefs. These beliefs are what dominate your subconscious and determine your default. If they are negative and ungodly thoughts, which are seeds, they will produce negative and ungodly fruit in your life. If they are positive and godly thoughts or seeds, they will produce positive and godly fruit in your life. So what this is saying is that the thoughts that you think are seeds, which you are planting, what you're focusing on is a seed which you're planting in your subconscious. Even if you're not purposefully thinking on the things that you're thinking on, it will manifest in fruit, either negative fruit or positive fruit. So you got to really think about what you're thinking about. It's really important. If you want to be happy and you want to experience joy and peace, you've got to be very careful with what am I thinking about? What am I focused on? You know, am I focused on the lack or am I focused on the supply? We all have lack at times, but you know, whether it's a lack of finances, a lack of health, a lack of whatever, but am I focused rather on the supply that I have in Christ or am I focused on the lack that I have on earth? You get to choose what you're going to focus on, and that focus is a seed which determines the fruitfulness that you have. So the thoughts you meditate on are seeds that you plant in your heart which will take root and become beliefs. These beliefs are what dominate your subconscious and determine your default. So what you're thinking about are seeds that you're planting which determine your default, which is what you think about when you're not actively thinking. You know what also helps to determine those defaults? You ready for this? You know what helps to determine that default? Should I say the S word? Series. TV. Newspaper. The world. Like, if you're just always focused on that stuff, and more than you are on the Word of God, it's determining an ungodly default. If you're focused on God's promises and His plan, and His Word, what He says, it's helping you to develop a godly default. That's why it's so important that we meditate on the Word and we fill ourselves with the Word. So what are you mostly thinking about? Romans 12 verse 2, God's Word translation says, don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Don't think like the people of this world. Don't become like them. Become like God. If you're not actively renewing your mind and starting to think like God thinks, you are naturally and just passively, just by default, falling into the pattern of this world, conforming to the pattern of this world, becoming like the world. We shouldn't be aiming to think like the world. There's some wisdom there, but God's wisdom is much greater. We want to think like God thinks, and then we get God's fruit. You know, His way is much better than the world's way. There's wonderful, you know, people who do great things, you know, in the world, and if you think about them, they all have a good, healthy worldview and perspective on things. You know, when I was thinking about this, I don't think there's anyone who's made a positive impact in the world who didn't think healthy. But all the tyrants, all the people who've made a negative impact in the world, they have an unhealthy worldview because they've been meditating on the wrong stuff. It was never someone who was truly meditating on the goodness of God. It wasn't anyone who ever saw things like God saw them. They thought maybe they saw them like God saw them, but they were wrong. So we need to be filling ourselves with God's word, start changing our thinking, and we can change our life. And if we change our life, we can change the world. Okay? So if you don't think like God thinks, which is thinking according to the word, then you will start conforming to the world. You'll start looking and acting and thinking and talking like the world. We're Christians. We're not like the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Says, and you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Speaking to believers and saying, you were dead, but now you're alive. So what they're saying is an unbeliever is dead. If you've ever come into contact with a dead body or a dead animal or something like that, it's something different to when there's life in that thing. Right? If you've got life in you, there's potential. If you're dead, trying to refrain from saying some stuff there. But it's like you're food for the earth. You know, there should be a difference between a believer and an unbeliever. And the big difference is life. The one is a corpse, the one isn't. Okay? So we got to start to think like God thinks and start to see ourselves like God sees us. So, Proverbs 4:23. Are you ready for sacred cow number 2? Guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Guard your heart. This version says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, other translations say, guard your heart. Now, what context do you hear that in usually? In relationships. You know, I got so hurt in that relationship, and I realized it was because I wasn't guarding my heart. Most people use it in this context. I need to build up walls. Now, it's important for you to have boundaries, and it's important that you don't just let people abuse you. But this verse is not an excuse for you to build up those walls to protect yourself from other people. That's how we use it. But that's not the correct interpretation. You can get there by asking yourself, did Jesus guard his heart from other people? Think about it. No, he didn't. He gave himself up completely. He gave everything. He didn't distance himself from the snake Judas. He knew what was in Judas, but he didn't just I'm not going to have lunch with him today because I'm guarding my heart. I'm protecting myself. I know that he's going to betray me, so I'm just trying to manage my heart towards Judas. What did he do? He got down and washed Judas's feet and served him and loved him. He didn't reject him. Now, once again, don't let people abuse you, but what I'm saying is that this scripture isn't meant for you to protect yourself. The scripture is meant for you to protect others. I'll show you now. Okay, so your heart is the garden of your life, and you need to guard your heart by keeping a tight rein on what you allow in. What are you thinking about? What are you focused on? Your focus and your thinking are seeds that you plant into your heart. All the issues of life, what are one of the issues of life? Relationships. All the issues of life, including relationships, flow from the heart. So, what I've allowed, the seeds which I've sown into my heart, if I haven't guarded my heart in watching what I put in and allow in, then what have I done? Then I'm allowing other people to get hurt through what's in my heart, because what's in my heart is going to come out and it's going to affect everyone around me. And so, if I'm not guarding my heart, I'm not loving other people. Because if I'm constantly thinking negative thoughts about Peter, okay. Once again, I didn't pick on Peter because I have a problem with him. And I didn't pick anyone else. The reason I didn't pick anyone else isn't because I've got a problem with him. Okay? So just my fine print. So if Peter now, if I'm thinking, you know, why is he always late? Why does he never phone me? Or, you know, this guy's lazy. If I'm always thinking thoughts like that about Peter and like, you know what, he's just, he's actually just terrible. I think he must just rather stay home. If I'm just thinking, you know, like, has he ever done anything good for anyone? And I'm just thinking negative thoughts. You contextualize it to yourself. But if I'm just thinking negative thoughts about Peter all the time, when Peter comes and has an encounter with me, hey, Shane, how are you doing? And all of a sudden, I just like lash out at him. Why did that happen? Because what was in my heart? I wasn't protecting my heart by having the right seeds planted in my heart. So all of a sudden, unbeknownst to Peter and everybody else, I just exploded at Peter because, you know, what was in my heart came out. And that's not loving people. That's not expecting the best. That's not believing the best. That's just ungodly. If I'm expecting, love expects the best and hopes for the best and always believes the best. So now, if I'm like, you know what, even though, you know, maybe he's late because there's a problem. Shame, maybe he's having a rough week. If I'm like giving him the benefit of the doubt and constantly thinking the best of him and all of that type of stuff, then you know what's going to happen? When he comes to me, even if he hasn't been performing great, he's going to have a great experience with me. He's going to experience love through me because that's what I've planted in my heart. I'm sure that's what Jesus was doing with Judas. You know, we need to believe the best in people and love on them and not just be like, you know, constantly think, oh, that guy's good for nothing. Then they come to you and they like wonder why you're mean to them and you're happy with everyone else. There's a reason, because you didn't guard your heart. Okay, if you keep guard over what you allow into your heart, you're protecting the people around you from experiencing what's in your heart. So guard your heart, correctly used, is protecting the people around you, not protecting you. We've got a very self-centered theology, usually, where we take the scripture and it's all about me. When this scripture is all about everybody around you. Jesus is like, hey, if you really want to, God is really like, if you really want to love the people around you, protect them by protecting your heart. Guard your heart. We have a moment just to think about that. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is powerful. Carnal mindedness isn't sinful mindedness necessarily. Carnal means fleshly. So it's you focusing on the things of the world, on carnal things, and if you just focus on that stuff, it leads to death. Death isn't just like there's no life in your body. It's limited life. Death includes sickness. Death includes poverty. Death includes lack. Death includes depression. Death includes anything that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Okay, so if you're carnally minded, just focused on fleshly things, just on carnal things, it'll lead to death. Another example of carnality, which I think is, you know, we need to look after ourselves and be healthy. It's wise to exercise. So that's carnal. It's not sin. How many of you ate today? Most of you are fasting. I hope it was for the service. Thank you. That's awesome. God loves you even more than us. I'm sure that had a great lunch. So, for to be carnally minded, if we're not carnal minded to a degree, then we're in trouble. You need to think about what you're eating, and you need to think about, you know, what your exercise. If you live in gym, it's not a good thing, unless you work there. But, you know, to be carnally minded is death. If you're just focused on the outward appearance and all of that type of stuff, it's going to lead to death, even if it's just depression. You need to be focused, be spiritually minded, which is thinking like God thinks, thinking word. Spiritually minded is word minded. If you're word minded, it's life and peace. So what this is saying is that carnal mindedness equals death. It doesn't tend towards death. It doesn't, you know, maybe if you're carnally minded, you'll experience some depression or some death. If you think like the world thinks, it's going to lead to death. If you think like God thinks, it's going to manifest in life and peace in your life. How many of you want life and peace? If you want life and peace, then and you want to experience that and enjoy it, then you've got to be word-minded. You can't be carnal-minded. Okay, so with the word minded there is quite powerful. It's talking about what are you focused on? How are you thinking? Okay, so if you think like the world thinks, ungodly, then you experience what the world experiences. If you think like God thinks, it'll cause life and peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee, trusts in you. What that's saying is that peace, we can include joy, we can include happiness, we can include life. all of that is a natural byproduct, is the natural result of your focus. Okay? If you want peace, you've got to watch what you're focused on. This reveals that our emotions follow our thoughts. So what your emotions are an indicator. Your emotions are indicating where your focus is. Your emotions are indicating what you truly believe. Your emotions, you know, that's why you can't be led by your emotions, because your emotions are an indicator. Are you allowing your emotions to lead you, or are they just an indication of where you're really at so you can make some course correction? It's really important that you answer that question. So, yeah, this scripture is linking our emotions to our focus, to our thoughts. Psychology would say the opposite. Psychology would say your emotions are the result of your circumstances. And as I said earlier, you know, that would mean that, you know, if you have two people and they experience the same hardships, they should have the same results. But often you find some people go through something terrible and they come out tops. They come out stronger than they went into that negative situation. Then you've got some people who will go into a situation, the same situation, and just fall apart completely. Why is that? Because your response to life determines if you're better or bitter. Your response to life determines if you're going to come out stronger or if you're going to come out weaker. You know, divorce is terrible. But hey, you can make it, the way you respond to divorce, whether it's in your family or whether it's you, determines are you going to be better or bitter. I can use many other examples. There's some terrible things out there. You know, murder, rape, all sorts of things. It's terrible. It's not good. But if you choose to respond to those things positively and in the correct way, allow God to bring healing in your heart, you can come out better than you went in. Stronger than ever. And with a testimony. It's really important the way that you choose to respond to circumstances. This is really the essence of what I'm saying this evening, is that you're the gatekeeper of your subconscious. You're the gatekeeper of your subconscious. Okay, so you're the gardener of your heart. You determine what is allowed in and what you keep out. If you want a happy life and you want good fruit in your life, then you've got to keep a guard on your heart. What am I focused on? What am I allowing in? You've got to make sure you keep a tight rein on that. If you want your life to change, if you want to experience the abundant life of what Jesus has for you, if you want perfect peace, if you want to be happy no matter what, then you need to control what you allow into your heart, what you're focused on. Because bad things happen to everyone. You're not exempt from bad things. But how you respond to it determines how you're going to be. You know, in essence, like, don't worry, be happy. There's always a reason to worry. There's many things to worry about. Amen? If you don't have anything to worry about, just come spend 1 minute with me. I'll find something in your life for you to worry about. And I don't want to get you to focus on the negative. I just want to prove a point. The point is, if we've all got things to worry about, but if you focus on the things to worry about, you will worry. If you focus on the Lord, the joy, you know, rejoicing in the Lord, not in your circumstances, but in the Lord. If you rejoice in the Lord, there's always a reason to rejoice in the Lord. You know why? Because He's always forgiving you. He's always wanting to bless you. Your blessing's always yours. He's always good. You can always, it doesn't matter what's happening in your life, you've always got a reason to rejoice in the Lord. Not in your circumstances, maybe not in your bank account or your health or your relationships, but you can rejoice in the Lord. And you know what the awesome thing is? Your relationships, your bank account, and your health will all pass away when you pass away. That's why we sang that song. It's maybe a bit of a morbid song with a happy beat. But the truth is that if you've got nothing to rejoice about in this life, at least you can just focus on, there's just a few more days on this weary earth, and then I'm going to fly. I'm going to go into glory, however they say it. It's, I think that's an awesome song. It's helping you get perspective in the situation and see that, okay, life is hard, things are bad, but I'm going to be with Jesus for eternity. I'm never going to experience lack. I'm never going to experience pain again. I'm never going to experience suffering. And I'm just going to have joy unspeakable all the time. If you've got nothing to think about, which is good, just think about that. I'm born again. I'm going to be with Jesus for eternity. The world will think you're nuts for doing that. Your family might think you're nuts for doing that. You might look nuts for doing that, but the truth is you'll be happy and you'll get through life easier. It's not about saying you'll never have problems or you shouldn't have problems in your life. What it is we're saying, hey, you can get through the challenges in life with a jump in your step and a beat in your heart, rejoicing in the Lord always. Amen.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. Cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Now there is this song I wrote. I hope you learned it note for note like good little children. Don't worry,
be happy.
Listen to what I say. In your life, expect some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. But don't worry, be happy. Be happy now.
Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy.
Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this.
Don't worry,
it will soon pass, whatever it is.
Don't worry, be happy.
I'm not worried.
love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.